find a scripture, Galatians 5, 13 through 15. Our topic is freedom today. For you were called to be free, brothers, meaning us and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the entire law is fulfilled in one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. And that's talking to us. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. If you prompt me with a word of knowledge to speak to a person or the situation, Lord, I want to be obedient to follow that. And Lord, you look at all of us here, but you look at me differently. You have a greater judgment on me than anybody on this campus, a strict judgment because I'm a teacher of your word, and I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. I have spent about 23 of my 25 years here studying the idea of what it means to live in the freedom of Christ. Many of you all know me well, that you have seen either up close or from a distance that journey in my life. And obviously, July the 4th being this week, in the spirit of freedom, I want to bring this with you. And we're going to focus on that today. And we also know that the spirit of freedom is still being expressed in the ever-exploding fireworks before, during, and after the 4th, right? My goodness. I'm just telling you, is all I can tell you. It's still out there. I want to say this to you because some of you are new in knowing me, and some of you are guests today. I do want you to know some of the foundational truths that I believe that I stand on. And there's no doubt that God has prospered our nation. No doubt about that. 80% of the world has one meal a day, and you and I usually have 4 or 5 or 7, right? 80% of the world, you listen, one meal a day. We consume 80% of the world's goods. Are just our nation alone. And there's no doubt we've been prospered, but I don't think we're prospered for prosperity's sake. I think we're prospered because there's a call on our prosperity to take the gospel to the world. I really do believe that. So if you got a big wonder about me and you need to know some of my foundational beliefs, if you ask me, you know me enough, I'll give them to you. I just want you to know that about our freedom. I'm thankful for it, absolutely. But just remember in the Gospels, too much that is given, much is required. And there's been a lot given to us and a lot of requirement on us. And I believe that really proposal is to take the gospel to the world. I pray we're living that out. I pray that we are. Galatians 5, 13 and 15 that I just gave you talks to us. It says that brothers and sisters, he's talking to us. He's not talking to an unbelieving world. He's talking to a believing world. He says, don't use this freedom as an opportunity to handle your flesh. Don't use it as a license to sin. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And then he gives us the remedy of it. Is the remedy out of this is to serve one another, love one another, and talk about loving our neighbor as we do ourselves. But then in the last, he goes, but you need to understand your fussing and your divisions among each other are they'll end up consuming each other. Listen, I we're a church, okay? This is not Walmart. I can't please all of y'all. There's either something wrong with the chair, something wrong with the lighting, something wrong with the carpet, something wrong with the speaker, something wrong with the music. Preacher preaches too long. I'm not Walmart. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You got it? I love you deeply, but I just want to tell you, some other nations this day walked further than you drove to hear the word of God. Y'all hear me? They walked further than you drove just to hear the word of God spoken. And if you don't believe me, go to other countries and find out. It's true. And I love you, but we can be a spoiled, rotten bunch of people. And I love you deeply. Now, some of you have come to me and said it's too cold. I go, I hope you freeze to death. Because if you're frozen, it's just right for all of us up here underneath the lights. You can thaw out a chicken up here, man. You know what I'm saying? Just even in the service time, it's hot up here. So my point is, I'm going to meet all your needs. And I try. You need to hear me. I'll try it. I just don't know that I'm going to make all of you happy. My point in that is we've got to watch the divisions, either how big or small they are around us. I've used this illustration. I don't think there's one for me that fits it any better. I've used it before. For those of you who heard it, I'll remind you of that. And the reason I use it is because I think it's one of the best ones. Max Lucado wrote in one of his devotions, his books, about his family going on a fishing trip. They'd gotten a Winnebago, RV, and all that. They had fun setting it up, going to go to bed that night, get up next morning and fish, right? Pouring down rain. They got up, pouring down. No big deal. We hadn't seen each other in years. Let's just have time together. We ate together. They played cards. They took naps. Went to bed that night, get up the next morning, going to go fish, pouring down rain. Couldn't. No big deal. We're still having a good time. After about the fourth or fifth day of going to bed at night, getting up raining and not fishing, he said we got on each other's nerves. We started bickering. We started getting snippy with one another. And he said, I realized if you're not fishing, you're fighting. Right? Let me tell you something. I can walk into a church and be in there 30 seconds, and I can tell you if they're a fishing church or a fighting church. And if you're not serving the Lord by loving in other people, you're going to be fighting. If you're not fishing, you're going to be fighting. And we'll bicker over the craziest of things. The craziest of things. And if we're focused on kingdom life, impacting the kingdom, spreading the kingdom of God, then we'll come together. When most of you, a lot of you don't know, when we were mobile, 9.5 years, setting up, tearing down, rented 30 facilities, rent expense almost $200,000 a year, got to 1,500 being mobile, 1,500 people being mobile. And when we were in all the schools and the ballrooms at the Holiday Inn and auditoriums, the Civic Center that doesn't exist anymore, we were everywhere, doing everything, moving literally all the time. For 9 years, we were mobile. And somebody said, how's the unity of your church? I said, it's great. And they said, how's it great? I said, because when somebody comes up to fuss at me, I go, wait a minute, before you say anything, could you grab that table and carry it to that trailer over there? And I said, when we were busy setting all this stuff up and tearing down and serving, there wasn't that much argument. There wasn't that much argument. Listen, I want you to sit in comfort. I'm glad. We just re-blacktopped the whole section for you and our moms and dads that come in the daycare. We want to bless you. But guys, I'm about you living, and I'll do what I can. You hear me? But we got to be concentrated on fishing and not fighting. And if we're doing fishing, we won't be fighting. And I really believe that's what Paul is saying to the Galatian people here, is if you focus the remedy of your flesh, of following your flesh and following the Spirit, which we'll get to in a moment, but is to serve one another. We love the Lord. We love our neighbor. We love the Lord. And if we're doing those things, then the fighting is gone. You got that? Y'all got it? I hope you got it. Let's look at verse 13 for just a moment. Three things in here we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with flesh, freedom, and then how to love other people. But we're going to begin right in the middle, where it says we don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. So let me explain to you what the flesh is. The flesh is our sinful nature, our human sinful nature. And it's very selfish. It's very selfish. In that, please note that I'm not talking about the skeletal covering of this. I'm not talking about the meat on the bones here. I am talking about fallen human nature. That is what the scripture refers to as our flesh. And you would think that, a lot of people do think, that in a a life that is driven by fleshly passions and desires is this incredible freeing life. That doing whatever you want, whenever you want to, is ultimate freedom. And it's one of the most harmful things that there is out there. It really becomes a place of bondage. Like, I'm going to be 59, and I used to do the baccalaureate service. I did a circuit for a number of years, baccalaureate services all over our state. And I know people come in, and they're like to a senior group, and they're, man, you just go out there and grab the world by the tail, and you just go and do it. And so my baccalaureate speeches were, doing what you want may be the most harmful thing you could ever do, which tells me why I'm not on the baccalaureate survey anymore. That's not real encouraging, is it? But doing what you want can be one of the most destructive things you can do to yourself or somebody else. I mean, somebody gets drunk, gets on the highway, takes an innocent life. You're against drunk driving? We all should be against drunk driving. But the point is, doing what they want, what they want to, takes an innocent life. It's harmful. Oh, yeah, but that's a freeing thing. Yeah, but it's a harmful freeing thing. And my point that I'm trying to get to you is, it's not a life of doing what you want. We're going to see in a moment that what the flesh desires and has a passion for is against the will of God. And you're going, well, I don't know if I believe it or not. I'll prove it to you in just a moment. But it is diabolically opposed to the will of God. So let's go there. Look at Galatians 5, 16 and 17. We're going to stay in Galatians 5. Paul says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Look at this. Look at verse 17. Spend a little time there with me, okay? For the flesh, which is sinful human nature, desires what is against the Spirit. Sometimes sinful human nature is not just trying to raise an ODU. It's diabolically opposed to the Spirit. It's using you to get back at the Spirit of God. You see that? It's not just, oh, that's me raising up again. It is diabolically opposed to the Spirit of God. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit. Let's just reverse it. And then the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. They are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. So my baccalaureate sermons really aren't unbiblical. What you may want to do could be the worst thing for you and us that could ever happen. So our goal as believers is not this freedom to just live and let live. It's not it. It's harmful. It's harmful to you. Harmful to innocent people. Becomes harmful. So it's not it at all. And the flesh and the spirit, they are working against one another. Let's look and see in Galatians 5 what the flesh life looks like. What does a sinful human nature life look like? And that's verses 19 and 21. Let's walk through this for just a moment. And before I get into it, you're going to see that a lot of the categories, not all of them, are sexual. You're going to see that. I just want to go ahead, okay? Where's my preacher on this? Let me tell you where he is on this, all right? Sex outside of marriage is against the will of God, any way you look at it. I even with divorced people, they're married and divorced. They've had a sex life in their marriage. They're divorced, and they still think they have the right to carry on being single in a sexual relationship with people. If you're single, you're celibate. Got it? Now you're going, well, how's my preacher believe on marriage? Just take a big guess. One man, one woman. Let me tell you something. Outside of Mother Teresa, there's my Julie. I don't think she's ever done anything wrong in her life. I'm just going to tell you. Julie thinks everybody loves Jesus and went to Sunday school, and she still does. That's just my wife. And if you know her, you know that's true, what I'm saying. And my wife to me said the other day, I mean, if some of the commercials that were on TV were happening when me and her, she goes, Jeff, I'd have been embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? Do I have to go there to you all? Okay. And she goes, is there nothing sacred anymore? I think sex is sacred. And I think it's always in the bounds of covenant marriage. And you're going to, hey, Jeffro, you need to get with the 21st century. I'm going, no. You need to go back to the letter of the Galatians. That's a whole other century, a long, long time ago. Now you're going, hey, Jeff, you're pretty strong. I'm going to need you to be strong with me. All right? People go, Jeff, if you preach that stuff, those who are living are going to be against you. Well, if they're living it, and this is truth, I expect them to be against me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not Walmart. You understand? You there? Y'all looking at me a little strange. Like, I don't know if I want to stay in this place or not. But I just want to tell you, in this list, I just want to go ahead and handle it, is a lot of the response to living in the flesh is sexual. And it's listed here. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery. Let me tell you something. The Lord is not for you reading tarot cards to see what your life's plan is. The Lord is not considered with the lifeline in the palm of your hand. Y'all, some of you are going, well, man, I live by my horoscope. Well, then stop. Okay? The stars don't know who you are. They don't even know what day it is. You with me? Created order, but they don't communicate. And if you do, you're listening to George Norrie after midnight on WHAS, okay, called Coast to Coast AM. So some of you have listened to it, I can tell. I'm sorry to tell you that I have too. Hatreds, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, meaning you group together and plot against people. Envy, drunkenness, carousing. And look what he says. Oh, heck, just anything similar. Let's just all pitch it in there, you know? Well, hang on to me. I don't want you mad at me. If you are, we just have to get over it. You're missing a good friend if you do, okay? I tell you about these things in advance. Did you see the word phrase in advance? As I told you before, in advance, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hang on. If you're not careful and you're not in the gospel specifically learning about who Jesus is, you will have your own made up imitation and imposter of Jesus. I want you to know he doesn't accept and bless everything. You need to know that. And you may have it in your mind that this Jesus is just, oh, bless your little heart. He didn't say bless your little heart to the rich young ruler. He didn't chase him. He let him go. You understand? So if we don't get a biblical picture of who our Jesus is, let me give you four examples. One of the teachings in the gospel, farmer has a bumper crop, more crop than he has barn space, builds more barns. Y'all know where I'm going? Sits on the front porch. He's eating a homemade half moon apple pie and drinking a Diet Mountain Dew. Rocking in his Cracker Barrel rocker. Thinking about, look what I've done. And the Lord said, what if I require your soul tonight? Meaning, what do you mean what you've done? It's what I've done for you. But don't forget, even the air you breathe belongs to him. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Don't forget that. And then it says here that there are folks who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, I love you, but don't you be mad at God because he has told us in advance, and he's told us in advance of the advance, as I've told you before. Part of my job is to lovingly get you off this list. Y'all listening to me? I want you there. But it's to get you off the list, and we'll create a Jesus that just is going to bless anything. And that's not the Jesus of the Gospels. And how, you're going, well, hey, preacher, how do I get the proper picture? Go to the Gospels. Jesus said some hard, hard stuff. F.F. Bruce, a great theologian, wrote a book called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. And man, it's tough stuff. All he looked at, that whole book is on nothing but the hard sayings of Jesus. And man, he says some really tough stuff for us to be able to look at. But it gives us a picture of the flesh. Let me explain some little things to you in this, because I want you to understand it, the flesh, from the aspect and the perspective of freedom. Look at verse 13 again. It says that in verse 13, that we have this freedom, but don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. What is this freedom? The freedom is to do the will of God. That's the freedom. Not our will, but to do His will. That becomes our freedom. And here's a picture that I've always used with you, that I even use in counseling. The world tells me that I need to hate people, but the kingdom tells me I need to love people. So I have the freedom to love people. The world tells me that be greedy, keep it all to yourself, and then the kingdom tells me to be generous. Like I told you, I was going through our stuff, and I'm like, well, you all know I dog trained a little bit. I don't know that I'll do that in the future. And so I'm thinking about how much I can get for all of my dog bowls, right? You know, and sell and get and, you know, whatever. And then I feel the Holy Spirit going, why don't you just give them to the Humane Society? They need them. I mean, why would I do a yard sale and get 25 cents for them and then donate $100 to the Humane Society when I can just give them a whole bunch of dog stuff? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, because we'll get greedy thinking, man, I paid $5 for that, but man, I'll do good if I get a quarter. Really? I mean, really? I mean, I'd pay somebody $400 to not have our yard sale, you know? I mean, seriously. So my point is, my flesh can go get some money for that. And then the Spirit of God's like, just give it away. You know, so being greedy, being generous. Another picture between the flesh and the world and the Spirit of God is not only hate and love and greedy and generous. The world says, get them back, you know, have revenge for them. And obviously, you know, the answer of that is the Lord tells us in His kingdom to forgive people. So the world and the flesh are diabolically opposed to the Spirit and the kingdom. And our freedom is from sin. Our freedom is not to sin. Paul says we don't have a license to sin because God has unlimited grace, does not give us the freedom to sin. Though I live in this world, I still have the opportunity to follow the kingdom. And we live in a free country. There are other people who live in persecuted countries, and they themselves in a non-free state are still trying to live out the kingdom of God just like we are. So what happens? I live in this world. I'm not of it, but I live in it. But what am I doing? Where's my focus? It's to live a kingdom life, have a kingdom response, have a kingdom reaction to what the world does. It is the freedom to love your neighbor. Remember, if you're fishing, you're not fighting. And we have the freedom to forgive. So we have the freedom to live in the Spirit of God, in the kingdom, in kingdom reaction, in kingdom response. In this same verse, let's look at how we love other people. It says, but serve one another through love. Listen to me, guys. Loving others does not mean you approve their sinful living. I had a lady one time tell me, Jeff, we know what you preachers are against. Can you tell me what you're for? It was life-changing for me. I don't think I really need to tell the world what's wrong. I think even those that argue about that point may know. I just got to tell them what's right. And just love them. Loving people doesn't mean you have approval. I've loved my son and my daughter. It doesn't mean I approve of everything they did. But I loved them anyway. Taught them kingdom principles. along the way. So it's loving others does not mean that you're approving of their sinful lifestyle. You love God, you love others. That's spirit-led living. So how do we overcome the flesh? How do we overcome the flesh, this freedom we have, and then the flesh trying to creep in there, our selfishness? We do it by serving other people. Remember, if you're fishing, you're not fighting. We do it by serving other people. We serve the Lord, we love our neighbor, and we do this by being led by the Spirit. What does that look like, being led by the Spirit? Look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23 for a moment. Please know that fruit is singular. Okay, don't say, well, the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I know your English teacher would tell you there's a long list there, so that means plurality, but it's not written that way. It means this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not saying these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit looks like this. And look how skillful Paul was. He told us what living by the flesh looked like. And now he's showing us what living by the Spirit looks like. And he said, it is the fact that it is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against those things there is no law. This is not a legality thing here. This is Christ taking the law. So instead of looking at the rules, you look at a life. So we're not looking at the rules, we're looking at the life of Christ now and how we put all this together. And so if you live by the Spirit, you live this way. So how do we get from this fleshly human nature, this sinful human nature, this worldly way of living, this selfish life, how do we get from there to the Spirit of God living? How do we do that? We've been singing about it all morning. Logan has been singing about it all morning. And look at Galatians 5:24. This is how we get there. If you're ever going to follow Christ, you don't get to where you're going unless you go to the cross. Look what it says in 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, which we read earlier, are diabolically opposed to the Spirit. So if I'm going to go in into the life of the Spirit, I've got to check into the cross. And there's an old Jeff. There's an old sinful human nature Jeff that is crucified there. You can't follow Jesus with perfect attendance. You follow Jesus by stopping and making an appointment at the cross. Because he certainly made one for you. And he nails the old you there. You can say, man, I'm educated, I'm intelligent, I'm creative, I'm intuitive. I'll carry on this life with Christ. You will not. Nobody follows Christ without making an appointment at the cross. What happens at the cross? He took on the wrath of God. He took on my sin. His body accepted what was due my body, and he nailed me there. And then I walked on in the newness of life, a brand new creation only God can produce. How do I get there? How do I get from the fleshly place to living by the Spirit? We've got to crucify it. I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. Our pond down here, we fish. We fish there, but it's event fishing. It's group fishing. It's the only way we can do it. It's our insurance. It's all that stuff. We've got to have it monitored. So it's not public fishing. But I think everybody in Franklin and Anderson County thinks it's a public pond. And so I was up here doing some work the other day. I think it was Friday. And I came up here just in the evening by myself to do some stuff. And there's three guys down there fishing. So I go down there. And hey, guys, you know, this is a private pond. Well, it's a church pond. I said, I know it's a church pond. But just because it's a church pond doesn't mean it's public. And I was raised, you ask permission. You know what I'm saying? You just got to understand that. Yeah, you don't have permission, you don't go. I'll just cut to the chase. My conversation with them, only one of them, but it was the old Jeff was coming off the cross. Y'all know what I'm saying? Do I have to explain that to you? And my brother's a retired trooper, and I called some guys and confessed it. I said, I got to sounding like my brother, and I knew then I needed to shut up, you know. And it went on, we handled it, everything went on. But I'm just getting tired of running people off there. And we run, you know, a lot of people off there. And in my mind, I just can't understand, if you don't have permission, what goes on in your mind that says I'm going to fish there anyway. It's just where I am. So anyway, we got it taken care of. But guys, I was in some old mowing shorts. I was in a Harley t-shirt that had the sleeves cut out of it. And I don't mean by a seamstress. I mean by a guy. You know what I'm saying? Had a holes in it where moss have eaten it. Looked like I've been shot with a shotgun in the stomach. And I'm sitting here talking to these guys. And I just realized I need to shut up, man. I mean, because I'm starting to react in the flesh. You know, and there are some principles in my life. I even told them, I said, guys, I've never cast a line in this pond. And when I told them that, that changed everything. I said, if you don't get to fish here, I don't. That's just a leadership thing. I never have. I've taken fish off the hook for people, and I put worms on it, but I've never fished in it for myself. And I never will. But because if they don't get to, I don't get to. And I live by that principle. I'm sure they thought, well, you know, I do it all the time. I've never done it. My point is, all of us can have moments like that. I was tired. It was hot. You know, and if we're not careful, that old sinful human nature will start to respond against the Spirit of God. Now, I still ask him to leave. But maybe I could not have had the rebuttal a little bit. You see what I'm saying? All of us are capable of having that old sinful nature start competing with the Spirit of God in us. And we have to watch it. What do we want our life to look like? We want to be led by the Spirit of God. And so we live that way. When I work out, I listen to Christian music. And I listen, usually my workout is long enough to listen to an album. And I tried to listen to Christian workout music. This, you know, I just can't work out that fast. You know, I'm going, this stuff, I got to slow this thing down a little bit, you know. So I'm trying to listen to it. So I've been listening to David Crowder's album called I Know a Ghost. It's a 2018 album, Dave Crowder. And you all know who he is and love him. And he's got that Louisiana, Cajun, rough country kind of flair to him a little bit. And I like that. So when I work out, I've been listening to his album over and over and over. So the album, if you want to check it out, is called I Know a Ghost. So he has that song on the album called I Know a Ghost, but he has another song just entitled Ghost. And we know that he's talking about the Holy Ghost. So the Pentecostals in here would go Holy Ghost instead of Holy Spirit. That's okay. I want to remind you that the Holy Ghost is not a thing, an it, a phenomena, or a concept. He is a person, okay? He's one of the three ways that God reveals himself to us. God reveals himself as Father. God reveals himself as Son. God reveals himself to us as the person of the Holy Spirit. And so one thing Crowder does is he captures this in his music. In this album, specifically these two songs, I Know a Ghost and then just Ghost, that he is a person. So I want to give you some of the lyrics from this song, Ghost. His ghost is inside me, a holy fire burning wildly, burning through the things that need to be erased to liberate my soul. Freedom to my soul. Get ready, there's an empty tomb. It's my favorite line right here. Get ready, there's a ghost in the room. Get ready, even mountains move. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Look at this verse. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not to do what you want, but to do what he wills. In the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's what I want to remind you. I want you to hear me. Your human flesh, your human sinful desires is always going to battle the Spirit of God. Always. We've already seen those verses. It's going to battle it. What your flesh and your passions and your desires want you to do is going to be against the Spirit of God. Here's what I want to remind you. Just listen to this. Not only is the Holy Spirit in you, but there's a ghost in the room. And he's going to lead you to Spirit-led life. Call on him. Will you do that? When I'm working out and I get to that part, go back to the chorus, if you will, Tammy. When I get to the part, I've got a little gym in my garage. And the other day, Geely's coming in there. And so I laid down the 20-pound dumbbells and picked up the 50. You know what I'm saying? Impress my girl, right? I get to that part, get ready. When I get to that part, there's a ghost in the room. And what is he there to do? To lead you in Spirit-led living. There was a ghost down by the pond Friday afternoon. You sound like your brother, Jeffro. Need to hush. You know what I'm saying? There's a ghost in the room. Follow him, because he'll lead you in Spirit-led living. So when we who believe walk by the Spirit, the world is going to throw stuff at us. How do we respond? Spirit-led, kingdom response, kingdom reactions to worldly experiences is how we respond. Let me pray over you. Thanks for being with us today. Holy Spirit, we know you're here. There's a ghost in the room. And we know how you lead us. And we welcome you in leading us. Thank you for loving us, guiding us, directing us, leading us to all truth, convicting us of where we are and where we need to be. Holy Spirit, I'm speaking to you directly today. We thank you for your work in our lives. We know that you are a witness of who Christ is and what he does. We know that you empower us to be that witness in the world. And we welcome your presence with us, not only in us, but alongside us. Thank you for always being in the room. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Our invitation is here. You've never surrendered your life to Christ. Don't wait another day. There'll be folk here in the altar who'll be ministering to you, with you, and for you. If you're a believer, it doesn't matter if you're a member of our church or not, we offer communion. I take the bread, represents his body, dip it in the drink, represents his blood. Before you consume it, will you remember his sacrifice that he's given to us? And will you please remember that you were crucified there with him, the old you? And would you give him thanks before you consume the bread and the drink? The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. I love you. I want you to know that. I want you off that fleshy list. But he wants you off of it more than anybody else. Surrender to him today, whatever that means. Let's stand. Counselors, would you find your place? Logan's going to lead us. You respond.